This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Today marks UNESCO's third International Day of Education to celebrate celebration. And this year, the theme is Recover and Revitalize Education for the COVID-19 Generation. Now, Malaysia has seen several groups doing just that to help ease what has been a laborious and stressful 2020 school year. And this morning, we're joined by Edvolution Enterprise, an NGO that's been successful in launching their two projects to help SPM and primary school students respectively.
Their first project is called Project Lulus SPM or Pass SPM. They help SPM sitting students in gaining digital access to BM and Sejarah. Their other project is Project Celik Baca, their second initiative. They managed to get primary students to improve their literacy skills.
And now the Education Ministry has received sharp criticism for being slow and disorganized in helping to minimize the impact of school disruptions and on students and teachers. And if I take a look at our poll right now, we've asked you on Twitter, what is the biggest issue with home-based learning during the pandemic? 61% say digital divide, 8% say no proper syllabus, 23% point towards a lack of government support, 8.3% say others. And when I take a look at the responses, a lot of them are saying all of the above.
So, of course, what's the best workable plan then for our schooling COVID-19 generation to continue learning? Edvolution's co-founder, Melissa Gomez, weighs in on this with us this morning. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, Edvolution's projects were successful in improving students' SPM trial exams and overall literacy amongst primary students. But why did the team specifically choose to focus on these two issues? And what was considered when you were drawing these projects up?
Hi, morning everyone. Thank you so much for having me here. Well, maybe let me start by first explaining maybe a little bit of what Project Lulus SPM and also Celik Baca is. Project Lulus SPM, as its name describes, it's basically an intervention to help students just to pass the SPM examination. And basically, there's only two subjects that is the prerequisite for a student to obtain their SPM cert, which is to pass the Bahasa Melayu and also their history subject. So the target was primarily for students who were failing in either subjects or both subjects. And Project Lulus SPM, similarly also to Project Celik Baca, runs on three core framework. Number one, it's the content is based on online digital platforms. The other one is parental engagement. And the third one is collaboration with the community to support the students and also the schools to recover from the pandemic. Whereas Project Celik Baca is a literacy intervention for primary students whose reading and writing disability is affected due to the pandemic. So as you can see, that both Project Lulus SPM and also Celik Baca are programs that are niche to students from the B4T communities. And four things that the team considered when we designed the project is this. Now, you know, like the famous saying, it says, it takes a village to raise a child. And hence, when developing a community-based project, it was really crucial for us to actually to involve every member of the community, not only in the planning, in the development, but also in its implementation and evaluation. So, for example, before we actually launched the program, we had multiple engagement with the state and the district leaders, leaders from the schools, and also teachers to really understand where the concerns were. And it was very clear result from the discussions that Edvolution would play its role in curating its the content for the online digital classes, whereas the state and also the school leaders will be playing its role in implementing it on the ground, monitoring its impact on the students and also looking at the progress of the project in the respective schools. Now, the second thing that we considered most important was also to leverage on peer influence. Now, if you note that both projects' target audiences are students, and hence it was really crucial that we actually get the participation of the students. And one of the things that we work about in education transformation is actually leveraging on our students' influence, our students' voice in this matter. And we realized that 90% of our schools, when we talk to state leaders and also district leaders, is that they were facing attendance issues, especially in the second CMC, the CMCO was announced. Starting October onwards, we see that there was a decline in students' attendance. And hence, we created this concept called student leaders, where these are mini leaders from the classroom who will coach their peers during the online classes. And in doing this, we then work with the state officers to train the teachers on recruiting and developing the student leaders. And what was really surprising was that not only do we see impact on the students who were undergoing these coaching classes, but also the impact on the student leaders themselves, who through a survey reported that they saw that they felt an increased motivation and sense of ownership in the school, given the role that they had to play as a student leader.
So you say that these projects have proven to be quite successful. How are you able to scale your programs to 10,000 schools in Malaysia?
All right. So I think both projects are presently funded by two foundations, ECM Libra Foundation and also Yayasan Hasana. And scalability or even sustainability is something that we look really crucial. We're really fortunate to gather volunteers throughout the country, about 100 volunteers throughout the country to assist us. But we also note that this is not something that's that we're able to do in the long term. And hence, we're working on since November 2020 up to April 2021, we'll be focusing on four things. Number one is helping school leaders who are involved in this present project to mentor another school. The other thing is to actually have yearly regional sharings where we gather teachers from multiple regions in the country to actually share their best practices and to see how each educator could learn from each other. The other third thing that we're doing is also developing a professional community platform for educators to share and exchange ideas using a tailor-made learning management system. And lastly, it's to advocate for good leadership. Now, advocacy is something which is it's important, but it's also the most challenging area of all. We note that the success of the project was also due to the commitment from the state and the district leaders. And as such, we're working with various organizations like Teach for Malaysia and also Pemimpin GSL to see how we could actually sustain and innovate these leadership programs for leaders, for system leaders in the education system, so they are able to scale this project on their own.
Now, when we take a look at the current situation on the ground, right, and getting kids to learn online, what do we need to do to get these kids to, what kind of environment do we have to build for kids to be able to learn online? Because it is a new environment for a lot of them, and there is a gap in the system right now. Yes, your projects have worked out, but how do we talk about all the other kids on the ground right now?
Yeah, I think when we talk about online learning, I think, number one, the digital divide and internet accessibility, it's an issue that we definitely will face. And I think from your poll that you did on Twitter, you mentioned that 61% actually noted that they are, is facing that digital, that divide. Now, I think in getting ready students or even for classroom or for online learning, I think the key stakeholders that the education system or even school leaders or teachers need to get ready is to actually work with the parents. And I think as a parent myself, I do note that the engagement from the parents, it's minimal. Just to give you an example, we have a large group of parents who are sending their kids to daycare centers and also babysitters. And therefore, this would actually, with this online learning, students who's staying with their babysitters and also their daycare centers will potentially be left behind. And there is no flexibility in the online learning or the home-based learning where, some parents are questioning and also giving feedback to say, is there a possibility that you have these classes in the evening or at night? Considering that student, that the parents are back home and they are able to support. So in terms of that, I think there is, to get that challenge of not only digital divide, but I think the second most important thing is the collaboration with the parents, which we see it's pretty minimal at this level. Just to give you an example, I think when we had the orientation for Standard 1, we see different forms of implementation from schools. Certain schools are doing online, certain schools are not doing online. And therefore, we see there is a raise of concerns from parents. And I think Kementerian had a hike of complaints in its portal, questioning, this implementation of their home, the PDPR, which is their home-based learning. So if you ask me, what are the conditions now before we get into setting the classroom home before we get the students, you know, comfortable using the laptop. I think the first thing first that the schools and the teachers need to address in creating that learning environment is to collaborate closely with the parents, which is really absent right now.
So, but a critical element here as well, when we talk about education, is also those students who are on the cusp of moving into the workforce, on the cusp of moving into universities. And getting SPM students to pass the exam is one thing, but having missed out on a year of face-to-face learning, and for those Form 4 students also who will be going into an exam year this year, also in uncertain times, what can we do to help these students who should be looking ahead at a future that is now completely up in the air?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question to ask. You know, I think if we look at the purpose of examinations, the purpose of examinations is to actually help an individual to measure a student's progress. But at the same time, we see that with this digital divide, or we see that with this current situation right now, it creates two groups of students: students who are able to access learning and students who are unable to access learning. And in fact, World Bank in its report last year reported that if you do not attend school for more than about 5 months, you actually lose 0.6 schooling years. So the impact on students right now, it's really, really crucial, because students are in a prolonged learning loss experience. And I think if you have read the study done by Kazana Research Institute last year, it was reported that, you know, the 12 years of learning in our national schools is only equivalent to 9 years of meaningful learning in the classroom. Thus, the question is, what can we do to actually, you know, help these students on the ground? Now, I think my first thought is, besides, you know, having, you know, all these, I would be very frank, Tuition Digital or this Project Lulu's SPM, it's only short-term solutions. These are not long-term solutions that we are focusing on. In the long term, I believe the ministry should actually consider many areas on how, number one, examinations should carry out. Number two, how do we train our teachers and get them ready for online learning? And I think the third one is also the most debatable and the most trending issue, is that, you know, whether the SPM examinations should be postponed or it should not be postponed. So these are things I would think that in order to get students, you know, both groups of students on track in terms of learning, there are multiple things that the ministry has to consider. Number one, I think, as I mentioned, looking at training the teachers, and maybe even considering moving our examinations to online format. But of course, that in itself would then pose several challenges that the ministry would have to look at.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Melissa. That was Melissa Gomez, co-founder of Edvolution Enterprise, giving us a bit of a perspective on how the pandemic has impacted education here in Malaysia. Noelle, you had some thoughts on what we've heard so far.
Yeah, I think this is where inequality is really going to rear its ugly head, right? Where, first of all, B40 students, not many, may have access to a digital device or for their own to study, to study exclusively on their own. And also the learning environment is not conducive for them. And the question I was hoping we could ask her is, do you expect a significant number of students not getting through SPM this year?
Yes, I think that is something that we will be watching very closely, because SPM examinations are, they're very critical to students, particularly hoping to enter university. But right now, we are about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Wong Xiaoning will be speaking with David Goodhart, author of the book Head, Hand and Heart. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.